If I had received this meditation and sat with it a couple of weeks ago, I think the phrase that I would have pulled out and probably called the title of the service for this week would have instead been a sacrifice we choose, which is the phrase that I kept hearing each of the times in the reading. The idea of sacrifice for the common good is, as Elizabeth says, a heavy, dangerous thing. It's often portrayed as noble by those who are unwilling to sacrifice in the same sorts of ways, especially those who have been taught and practiced the idea that they can have every good thing and not give anything up, often because they have the power to require others to sacrifice so that they don't have to. These ideas, they find backing in traditional Christian theology in what's called, you might have heard of it, it's called atonement theology, which is the belief that Jesus' death, his sacrifice, was a sacrifice that atoned or healed all of us without our same comparable sacrifice. This idea makes it so that, like, sacrifice itself becomes heroic without any acknowledgement about this question of choice or differences in power or the ways that certain communities are asked to sacrifice again and again on behalf of those who have to give up very little. It's actually one of the most compelling things that I find in the stories of World War II, that there was a sense that everyone was sacrificing, at least to some degree. You can hear in the stories that were shared how the sacrifices, of course, played out differently based on your family's circumstances and where you were located in the world. But there still was a sense that everyone was giving something towards a shared cause, which in turn motivated a greater sense of commitment and a sense of purpose and meaning, even when things were dire and so much was at risk. So many lives were lost, and others, like Marty said, they were changed forever. This idea of collective sacrifice, it was actually an intentional strategy from the Roosevelt administration to invite these shared projects. I mean, certainly there was a need to be cautious with food, to collect scrap metal and even grease, you know, but really it probably wasn't necessary to have every child across the United States collect gum wrappers, let alone their mother's cooking pans, Bob. But Roosevelt felt like there needed to be a leveling connection. A leveling connection that would help people feeling helpless. And then in turn to connect in with the very significant sacrifice that many families were making through military service. And to facilitate a greater compassion with the pain that so many across the globe were experiencing. Collective sacrifice was a strategy for collective resilience. It was like we were giving something up so that we wouldn't give up on everything. 75 years later, in our world today, this idea of collective sacrifice, I mean, I don't hear it too often, do you? I mean, it's almost entirely unspoken of, which of course is understandable for all the reasons that I've described. Its potential for it to be used to oppress and maintain inequality. And still, as Elizabeth Wynne says in another piece of writing, this is a quote, many of us are only here because of the sacrifices of others. She says, I can't unknow the sacrifices that my parents and my grandparents and my ancestors made for me. I can wish that they weren't necessary or that there had been another way, but that's an alternate world. And so much of what is possible to carve out in this world requires some giving up, some letting go, some sacrifice. So what are you giving up these days? I mean, most of us would probably say quite a lot. I've heard some people talk about the virus stealing their time, like the life that they had planned. And of course, there is truth in this. And also, I wonder what it would do to consider these experiences of loss and giving up as our choice. To give up something so that we don't all give up on everything. Now, obviously, we did not choose the virus, and yet it is still our choice about how we will respond. So I invite you just to ask yourself in this moment, what sacrifice are you called to make and why? What value compels you and what vision? Now, if the word sacrifice is too heavy or dangerous for you, it's fine to let the word go, but don't let the connotation of the word go, which I think the word, what it gives us is it implies that we are giving up something that matters, something that's hard, something that leads to a greater flourishing of life beyond your own. Looking at it this way, as a matter of choice, grounded in values, it gives it this moment a covenantal frame. Remember, there's no coercion in covenant. It's all a practice of choice. So how will we be faithful to the love that flows within each of us, among all of us, and yet calls us beyond ourselves? Without the trust or the leadership at the national or global level, we can still remember this fundamental commitment of our faith and the promises that we have made for who we will be and what we will give and why. The duty that we have to those who came before and those who will come next. The ways we are called, like Christopher sings, to tend this flame. We can listen and remember those same impulses that Roosevelt drew on, these roots of resilience found still in our steadfast willingness to do the hard thing, to give up and to let go and to sacrifice with joy and gratitude. May it be so, and amen.